Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We are ready for your word. Father, we pray now that you'll bless as your word goes forth, that everything that we do and say will be pleasing in your sight, that you will be glorified, that your people will be edified, and that the devil will be horrified and terrified at the life-changing, life-giving word of God as it goes forth. Bless as only you can. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All of us have been called at one time or another. Whether it was somebody calling you verbally, somebody calling you on the telephone, whether it was a family member or friend, the call went out. And you had a choice to make whether or not you would respond to that call. I was reminded of when I was a child and my grandparents would be in the living room watching television, how often I would get a call. This was before the days of color television and remote controls, when I was the remote control. And so they'd call me into the room. I could be playing, I could be doing whatever I wanted to do. And they'd say, "Hey, come here." My grandfather called me, "Boop, Boop, come in here." "Now, yes, turn that channel for me." You know, that was that old television that when you went by the channel, you had to go all the way around it. The knob would break. You needed them needle nose pliers to turn it. You know, with the rabbit ears with the aluminum foil at the top of it. Now, I cannot tell you how many times I thought in my mind as I got older and I was still being called in to do the remote control duties, "Don't you know I'm busy? Don't you know I'm playing?" I said in my mind, I was thinking that. But I knew I would need life insurance if what was in my mind came across my lips, right? But I had to choose how I would respond. If you said, "Huh?" You know, my grandmother would be like, "Now, if you can, huh, you can hear. Don't give me no huh. Who you talking to?" "Yeah, yes, ma'am." "No." Listen, y'all, let me tell you this is a little side note. I had that happen with my nephew, because I'm talking to my nephew about something. And he said, "Well, bro, see, bro." And I was like, who your bro? Knock you out talking about bro. I ain't your bro. He said, "You better put some respect on that tone." You know what I mean? Here's what I've learned, though. Here's what I've learned. Whenever we are called, we've got to make a decision how we will respond. If somebody calls on the phone and you don't want to talk to them, you just look at your phone and send them the voicemail or let them go there on their own, right? You choose who you want to respond to and who you want to talk to. But I would argue today, my brothers and sisters, that the only thing more tragic in life in not hearing from God is when God speaks and you don't respond. The truth of the matter is, my brothers and sisters, God is calling, God is talking, God is speaking, but you and I have failed to respond to God the way God desires. Today, I want to begin a series of messages entitled, "How to Become a Great Person for a Great God." I want to suggest to you today, my brothers and sisters, that each of you has greatness within you. But the problem is you will never discover and walk in God's greatness for your life as long as you try to walk and live your life apart from God. It is when we hear God and when we obey God that we can begin the journey to fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. So today, I want to begin this series by talking to you from the thought, how to answer God's great call on your life. Amen. How to answer God's great call on your life. First and foremost, understand he is a great God. The Bible says our God is great and greatly to be praised. And he desires for each of us to be great in the kingdom work of God. So if we serve a great God and he has a great purpose for your life, then how do you respond to the great call that he is issuing? If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen. If you need an outline in the sanctuary or in the overflow, raise your hand. And for those of you who are watching, you can go to our website or go to our church app and find a fill-in-the-blank outline there. Four things I want you to see today that I hope and pray will give you some insight into how to answer God's call, great call, on your life. Now, Matthew chapter 4 begins with Jesus in his final preparation to launch his earthly ministry. In Matthew chapter 3, he has received a divine stamp of approval from God when he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And the Bible says the balcony of heaven opened up and God gave his divine stamp of approval to Jesus and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." He moves out of the approval of God into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. As a matter of fact, the text says that the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And the Bible says he successfully navigates three temptations that come at him from the devil: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is after he has overcome the temptation in the wilderness that he makes a declaration in verse 17 and says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Here we come now to verse 18. And Jesus is looking for followers. He's looking for people who will hear and answer God's call on their life. Here's the first thing I want you to see. Number one, you must hear when the Lord speaks to you. Yes. Now, y'all, it's real simple, but it's right here in the text. Look at what the text says. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, stop right there. Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew are fishermen. Now, this is a day and time when sons followed their fathers in their vocational choice. There were no guidance counselors back in this day. Folk didn't wake up and say, "Well, I feel like doing that," or "I feel like doing this." If your daddy was a carpenter, you were a carpenter. If your daddy was a plumber, you were a plumber. If your daddy was a fisherman, you were a fisherman. And here are two brothers who are both fishermen, suggesting that they were following in the family tradition of their daddy, who was probably a fisherman too. The Bible says that they are fishing, they are busy, they are doing what the Lord, doing what they have commissioned themselves to do, casting a net into the sea. Verse 19 says, and then he said to them, they were fishermen who were fishing, and Jesus initiates the conversation. Don't miss this. They didn't find Jesus. Jesus found them. Matter of fact, they weren't even looking for Jesus. But Jesus found them, and God initiated a conversation with them by grace, not because of their effort. Here's what I need you to understand. First and foremost, the Lord doesn't call lazy, do nothing, going nowhere people to follow him. The Lord doesn't call people who are wasting time or who have time. The Lord calls people who are busy, who have to make time. Let me put a quote in the meter because some of y'all are looking at me strange. See, a lot of times when we talk about following God, we act like following God is like following people. And so we say things like, "Well, I don't have time," or "I've got other stuff to do." And God says, no, you got it confused. God doesn't ask if you have time. God asks, are you willing to make time? I was doing a retreat for Pastor David Hsu. David and I were in seminary together. He's a Chinese American. And so he asked me to come and speak at Trinity Pines for their church retreat. And so I'm there. And if you know anything about me, I'm very, very particular about time. Excellence is not my goal. It's my standard. I believe if we serve an on-time God, we ought to be an on-time people. Amen. So the staff, they all tell you, if I'm looking at my watch and it says 10 o'clock, we better be starting. Because if not, I'm going to come out here and start. That's just my particular pet peeve. So I'm standing there at Trinity Pines for the Chinese church retreat. And it's about 5 after the hour, and we're supposed to start on the hour. And so, you know, I'm feeling some kind of way. I got a little anxious now, but hey, it's not my retreat. I'm a guest, so I'm not going to trip. And we got about 10 minutes late, and I'm like, okay, man, I don't know what's going on. So we just standing there. So finally David says, man, these people get on my nerves. I hate man, they always on CP time. So I'm sitting there like, in my mind, I'm saying, you know, bro, I know we went to seminary together, but, you know, I mean, I know we love Jesus, but, you know, I don't appreciate you talking about CP time, you know. He said, man, these people are always on CP time, man. They're always on Chinese people time, man. Always Chinese people time. So I started laughing. So I said to him, I said, Dave, I said, listen, man, I want to ask you a question. I said, and I'm not trying to be offensive when I ask this question. I said, I'm from New York, and, you know, there's a lot of Chinese people in New York and a lot of first-generation Chinese people, a lot of immigrants. And, man, I just noticed, man, how industrious and hardworking your people are. I said, man, I mean, I've seen them come in, open up a restaurant in our neighborhood, and, man, they're getting groceries delivered in the morning. They prepping all day. They stay open selling food all night. They got cots in the back, man. They sleeping back there during the day. I said, man, where do y'all get that work ethic from? And he said, work ethic? I said, yeah, man, to work so hard. He said, no, DZ, you don't understand. He said, Chinese people, we don't have a strong work ethic. He said, all of the lazy people are still in China. You just saw some hardworking Chinese people. Here's all I'm telling you. God doesn't look for lazy people. God does not call people who are doing nothing. Someone listening in today, you need to know the Lord is calling you to follow him, and God only recruits busy people. Look at Hebrews 3:15. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The danger is not that God isn't speaking. The danger is your heart is so hardened that you can't hear. Matthew 11:15. Let's read it together. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, here's what Jesus is emphasizing. He is emphasizing that hearing is both physical and spiritual. And the problem for many of us is we can hear physically, but we don't listen spiritually. God says you got to hear and listen. It's like having your phone on silent and missing an important call. It's not that you didn't get the call. You just weren't prepared to receive it. And because you weren't prepared to receive it, you couldn't respond to it. If you're going to hear God, somebody in here, you need to slow down. If you're going to hear God, you've got to learn how to silence competing voices. If you're going to hear God, you've got to stay in God's word. And let me give you all a little hint today. So in case, because I don't want you to feel like you were misled. All y'all know Jesus got up on Resurrection Sunday. Because you all know that that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about how to let Jesus get up in your own life. We know he rose over 2,000 years ago. Is he going to get up in your life today? Because you just come into church on Easter Sunday just for Easter Sunday to wear the pink, the green, the white, the orange, whatever color you wear of choice, your spring pastel, all of that is fine. But what you going to do? with the Jesus who has risen and wants to get up in your life. See, God doesn't have a speaking problem. We have a listening problem. I told you, you've got to hear when the Lord speaks to you. Here's the second thing, number two. You must intentionally decide to obey what the Lord commands you to do. You must intentionally decide. Underline, circle that word, intentionally. Decide to obey what the Lord commands you to do. He said to them, verse 19, follow me. Stop right there. He said to them, follow me. Follow me. It's in the imperative mood. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you can't negotiate the terms of your following. You got to make a decision to obey or not to obey. Jesus didn't disregard their identity. He just wanted to redirect who they were for kingdom purpose. See, I told you the Lord always calls somebody who's busy. And when he calls you and you're busy, he requires you to leave something behind. The nets represented their livelihood. The nets represented their security. The nets represented their identity. See, some of you don't know, but for men, we define who we are by what we do. That's why when men don't have a job they are proud of, they're not necessarily proud of who they are, because they decide to identify with what they do for a living, not who they are in Christ. And so here is Jesus challenging them, saying, hey, you got to be willing to leave something behind. It's amazing to us how many of us have heard the call of God, but we want to negotiate with God and keep holding to what we've been holding on to instead of letting go and following him. Look at Luke 9:23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Listen, all of us have learned how to say no to somebody else. Most of us have not learned the practice of self-discipline and how to say no to ourselves. Hebrews 11, verse 8, let's read it together. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He knew who was leading him, even if he didn't know where he was going. You can't follow new directions if you refuse to leave your old location. I don't care what God tells you to do. If you're not willing to leave where you are, you can't get to where God wants you to be. And some of us are stuck. You're stuck because you won't hear God, and you're stuck because you won't listen to God. And if you do listen, you want to delay your obedience. Here's what it looks like for somebody. God, I hear what you're saying, but I'm still busy having fun. When I get older, when this season ends, then I'll do what you want me to do. And God says, no, delayed obedience is still disobedience. You can't follow Jesus and hold on to your nets at the same time. So Jesus says, follow me. Here's the third thing. Number three, you must intentionally allow yourself to be changed by the Lord. You got to intentionally allow yourself to be changed by the Lord. Watch what he says, the B part of verse 19. And he said to them, follow me, here it is, and I will make you. Now, the fishes of men is really inconsequential from this perspective. God wants to do some making of you. Whatever he wants to make of you, fishes of men, wonderful. But are you willing to let God make you? Because when the Lord says, I will make you, basically here's what he says. I command you to do your part, dedication, and I will do my part, transformation. I will make you. This is not a self-development plan. This is a plan to allow God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to use your life, your situations, your circumstances, to use everything you've been through to help you become who God wants you to be. And when he says, I will make you fishers of men, he's really talking about a missional reorientation. He says, I want to take your identity and I want to shift it. I want you to understand that I have something I want to make you into. When we were children, people would ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? And some of you have fulfilled those dreams. Some of you may not even remember what you said. But here's what I've learned. I've never heard a parent ask a child or a grandparent, what does God want you to be when you grow up? And somebody today, under the sound of my voice, who's here and who's watching, ask yourself, what do you think God wants you to be when you spiritually grow up? See, participation is your part. Transformation is God's work. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Philippians 1, 6. Let's read it together. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, a caterpillar does not turn into a butterfly overnight. It must go through a process. But the key is it must stay in the process. I'm here to tell you that God is trying to make you into something. He's trying to mold you into something, and you've got to stop resisting the process. You've got to stop quitting when it becomes uncomfortable and learn how to become comfortable in your discomfort. You've got to stop running when God is trying to reshape you. You've got to grow, and growth requires submission, consistency, and surrender. God doesn't just call you. God commits to changing you, to make you into the best version of yourself you can possibly be. Here's the fourth and final thing. Number four, you must intentionally choose to live on mission for the Lord. You've got to hear when the Lord speaks to you. You've got to decide to obey what the Lord commands you. You've got to allow yourself to be changed by him. But fourthly, you must intentionally choose to live on mission for the Lord. Look at verse 20. Now remember, Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He makes them a compelling offer. Look at their response in verse 20. Immediately. Quick, soon, fast, and in a hurry. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately, no delay, no dialogue, no debate, no negotiation. There was no, but God, I'm not, I'm just a fit. Now, immediately, they left their nets. They moved from fishing for fish to fishing for people. They shifted from making a living to making a difference. They shifted from following their plans to following God's purpose. They shifted from being defined by their past to being directed by their calling. Because they recognized that Jesus' calling on their life was not about a position, it was about walking in God's purpose for their lives. I'm trying to help somebody in here today, because here's what I need you to understand. This obeying God is not just a call to salvation. For somebody, it's a call to sanctification. For somebody, it's a call to commitment to next level living that you're claiming you want. You say you want God's blessings in your life, but you keep doing what you've been doing and then ask God to do something different when you're not willing to do something different. Look at what James 1:22 says. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Can I tell you something I've learned in life? Too many times in life we deceive ourselves. Now, that's one thing when you run game on somebody else. But you know you bad mama jamma when you run game on yourself. When you deceive yourself. I mean, no, I'm serious. Now, when you fool yourself. And here's what James says. When you are a hearer and not a doer, you are fooling yourself. Why? Because you make the mistake of thinking content and conviction is a substitute for a change in conduct. You think just because you know better that now God has absolved you from having to do better. And he says, no, you got to put this into practice. It's not just what you hear. Listen, you know better already. Some of you under the sound of my voice, some of you who are watching right now, you don't need another Bible study. You don't need another conference. You don't need another workshop. You don't need another a webinar. All you need to do is do what God has already told you that you know you should be doing. Look at Romans 2:13. For merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in his sight. Listen, a rescue worker doesn't just admire people in danger. A lifeguard doesn't stand on the beach and just watch somebody drown. By virtue of their position, they need to put some things into practice, right? They go after somebody who's in trouble. And God says to you and I, it's time to move beyond what we know to now putting it into practice in what we do. If you're going to answer God's call on your life, you must move from hearing to following to becoming to living on mission. I cannot tell you how many companies I have consulted for, churches, nonprofit organizations, schools, and their basic problem is they are off mission. And off mission simply means here's what they were supposed to do, here's what they were created to do, and somehow over time, they have subtly drifted and subtly moved, and now they're off mission. And the only way to experience a true reset is to get back on mission. Everybody say reset. Reset. Great book, one of the best books I've read in my life, Reset by Dan Heath. And here's what Dan says in his book called Reset. Dan says too many people make the mistake of thinking a reset is adding something new to what you're already doing. When a reset is doing something new instead of what you've been doing. And most of us don't like a reset because a reset suggests that we've been doing something wrong, when in actuality, a reset simply means you might be able to do things better. If you're following Jesus, your life should be helping somebody else know him and grow in him. Remember what I said earlier, the greatest tragedy in life is hearing God's call and not answering it. Peter and Andrew answered immediately. James and John, a couple of verses later, answered immediately. And because they answered, their lives were changed. Because they answered, the world was impacted. Because they answered, eternity was affected. And today, I need somebody to know that same Jesus. That same Jesus is still walking by the shores of your life. That same Jesus is still showing up in ordinary moments, issuing a call to change your life. That same Jesus is still speaking with extraordinary authority. And he's not calling a crowd, he's calling you. God is calling you. So here's what the Lord says, don't ignore him. Don't silence his voice with your excuses. Don't drown out his call with your distractions. Don't ignore God's instructions because of your intentions. Because when God speaks, it's not a suggestion. When God speaks, it's a command. So don't delay in saying yes to God. Don't say to God later. Don't say when I'm ready. Don't say to God after I fix a few things. Because I told you earlier, delayed obedience is still disobedience. When he calls you, don't debate with him. Don't negotiate his instructions. Don't try to edit his assignment. Because God is not looking for your opinion. God is looking for your obedience. And God says, when you delay your yes, it's still a dangerous no. Let me say it again. When you delay your yes, it's a dangerous no. So today, right now, in this moment, I want you to say yes to God. Before fear talks you out of it, say yes to God. Before doubt tries to dissuade you, say yes to God. Before comfort convinces you to stay where you are, say yes to his voice. Say yes to his will. Yes to his word. Yes to his way. Say yes to his mission. But not a quiet yes. Not a cute yes. Somebody say it with your chest. Use your outdoor voice and say yes. Yes. I'll say yes. Yes. I said yes. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes. Not a convenient yes, but a committed yes. A costly yes. A complete yes. A yes that says I'll become who you called me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. And when you choose to say yes, have I got a witness in here? God will change you. God will mold you. If you learn how to say yes, your best days are not behind you, but your best days are on the other side of your yes. Have I got a witness here? Say yes to change your heart. Say yes to change your priorities. Say yes to change your purpose. Say yes, and you'll change your story. If you learn how to say yes, God, and when you say yes, you'll not only hear his call, but you'll answer his call. Stop making excuses. Stop delaying your obedience. Stop running from your calling. I dare you to lift your voice and just say, yes, God. Yes, God. I've been playing long enough. Somebody said, you play too much. Playing long enough. God said, stop playing. Say yes. I don't know. I don't know if I understand. God said, just say yes. Just say yes. You're not going to figure it all out on this side. Some stuff you're not going to figure out till after you get in it. But you got to say yes to get off the sidelines to get in where God wants you to be. Because when you say yes, listen to me carefully. When you say yes to God, you won't lose your life. You'll just find your life. When you say yes. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for calling us. even when we didn't deserve it. Thank you, God, for looking for us and finding us even when we didn't have sense enough to look for you. Many of us were lost and didn't even know we were lost. And we didn't realize we were lost until you found us. Give us ears to hear your voice clearly. Give us courage to obey you immediately. Give us the humility to be changed by you completely. Give us the boldness to live on mission for you daily. Help us not just to hear your call, but help us to answer, God, by giving you the best thing we have, and that's giving you our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.